This podcast is produced by Exponential, championing church multiplication. For a 10% discount on Exponential's regional conferences this year, one in Washington, D.C., and one in Chicago, go to exponential.org and use the promotional code PODCAST. Producing this episode, I'm Chad Harrington. Brett Andrews planted New Life Christian Church in the Washington, D.C. area back in the 1990s. He had come to the area in 1987 and joined a church staff. The senior minister of that church had a heart for church planting in the D.C. area, and that got Brett thinking about planting. But all he had known of church planting before that was a small-town church in Pennsylvania that after 25 years was still at 200 people. So that wasn't that attractive to him. But after a few years being an associate minister in D.C., he became aware of what Dave and John Ferguson were doing in Napierville, and that gave him hope.
When they launched and they had 500 people on the first Sunday and they were averaging, I don't know, 250 from the very beginning, and the whole thing about all of a sudden it becomes easier to give birth than to raise the dead. And so that kind of captured my heart. That I always had a heart, I'm in the Washington, D.C. area because I always had a sense of calling to make a worldwide impact through being in Washington, D.C., which is a cosmopolitan city. Mm-hmm. And so through that, God started to develop a calling for me into church planting in the Washington, D.C. area.
And what's been your primary desire in church planting?
Sure. Well, when I was in fifth, sixth grade, I would lie in bed at night, kind of staring at the ceiling, thinking about eternity, and thinking, I can still see myself thinking in those moments, if eternity is real, and I believe it is, it's really, really long. And therefore, first of all, I don't want to wake up someday and discover that God is Allah and he's asking me, why didn't you take me seriously? And so that drove kind of an apologetic search. But then it was if eternity is real and the Bible is real, then nothing matters more than what's eternal. And so therefore I had better involve my life for stuff that matters for eternity. And and since nothing's more eternal than souls, then that developed the heart for ministry. And the next step for me was, what's the greatest way to have impact for eternity? Church planting. What we discovered is the Peter Wagner quote that everybody has agreed with, I think, that there's no more effective means of reaching lost people than planting new churches.
This week's episode is part of the series called My Journey to Multiplication, where we tell stories of church planters who are making progress along their journey toward becoming a level 5 multiplying church. This week, we're focused on the story of Brett Andrews, who is a church planter in Washington, D.C., and his church has helped to plant over 80 churches since they launched. In this episode, you'll hear what Brett's learned along his journey. You'll also hear from Dan Smith and Vince Antonucci, two of the planters that New Life has sent out. Here's Brett on what his experience in church planting has been like.
If you ever see a blind man with no arms painting a picture, that would probably be a pretty good picture of what my church planting experience has been. A lot of groping, a lot of, in the dark of, okay, Lord, what are we supposed to do next? I think a lot of sincerity of, Lord, what did Moses say to God one time? God, unless you go with me, I can't go there, essentially.
Yeah.
And so it has been, Lord, we believe that this is what it means to be obedient to you. We believe that this is what is the most effective way to reach lost people. We don't know how to do it. And so that's been a lot of trial and error and error and error. And a lot of God's blessing, a lot of God's power being seen, I think, in weakness. And so that's a blessing. That's a huge blessing too, because it makes it really clear. We've had a number of people come on staff and then go plant churches, and I think part of the reason they feel like they can plant churches is because, and this isn't false modesty, it's because of seeing how we're not geniuses, we're not brilliant, we don't have huge gifts, and yet God has used us. If God can use us, God can use them. You know, you were asking me yesterday about this whole level five church thing, and I've been thinking about it more in my personal struggle or anxiety with it. And I thought, is level five just for entrepreneurs? I think that's my first gut. Is level five just for disciple-making superstars? I think that if that's what people think or feel as they read the concepts or project ideas onto it, then it becomes this elusive thing and not a godly thing. Mm. You know, or is level five for the Peter, James, and Johns? Is it for the common Galileans, uneducated, who God is able to use to create multiplication movements? And I think that's the one thing that I would say about our experience, that we have, because we're not brilliant entrepreneurs, we're not, I'm not the kind of disciple-making person who sits down with five guys and turns out disciple, or, you know, every week and can do and have done that for 25 years in ministry and mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. I probably need to become that way just out of obedience and discipline, but it's been more of a, okay, our strength is preaching and teaching. Now, God, help us to identify people that you want us to send. Help us to call out people that you want to send. And so if that's one thing that God's blessed us in, it's been, we have a giftedness for finding, for God sends us a Terry Saliba, or God sends us a Todd Wilson, and then we hold them loosely and say, may God bless you to bless the kingdom. And so for us, that's been, if we've had a level five impact, which I wouldn't describe as a level five church, but if there has been a multiplication impact, it's been through us not being a stereotypical level five church, but it's being faithful in the gifts that God's given us, and then allowing him to make up for, to use that in a way that multiplies in a way that we could never have on our own. Does that make any sense?
That does make sense. What I hear you saying is there's multiplication going on, and there's reproducing going on, level four, and through the people that you have sent out, there has been multiplication, but it's not this textbook kind of answer or solution or history at New Life. It's just kind of what happened.
It's definitely not been, and maybe I need to take responsibility for this more, and maybe it's just because of a lack of awareness, but it's not because we've had a great plan and strategy to make that happen. It's whatever impact we've had, it's because we want to love God and honor God. We want to lead as many people as possible in our lifetime to do that as well. We've kept a focus on trying to reach lost people, and then sort of okay, God, help us to be faithful with what you've given us, and we won't hold on to it. I think that's one of the important principles for us, to say we're going to plant churches before we build a building for ourselves. We are we're going to hold staff loosely. It's not our staff. It's not our church. So if God calls us to say to bless Vince to go plant a church, we do. If God calls Todd Wilson to go reorganize Stadia, and then lead Exponential, and so he's using his entrepreneurial giftedness less at New Life and more kingdom wise. Thank you, Lord. So we just, and it's not a, it's a gain, even though it, in a sense it may feel like a loss, in the same sort of way that, when I took my daughter to college, I wept, mm-hmm. it was all good. It was really good, but it was really painful also to see that transition take place.
Yeah, my name's Dan Smith, and I'm the lead minister at Momentum Christian Church in the greater Cleveland area.
That's Dan Smith, one of the planters that Brett was talking about. He came on staff just a few years into the plant back in the 90s. He has since planted Momentum Church in Cleveland, Ohio. Momentum planted back in 2005, but since then they've started 7 churches, 5 of which are in the Cleveland area.
And you had mentioned that you came on to staff at New Life a while ago. What was New Life like when you came on the scene?
Yeah, it was pretty young. It was probably about 2.5 years old. I think they were running about 250 people-ish. And I was the only other full-time staff with them at that time. I was taking over for Vince Antonucci, who was moving on to plant a church in Virginia Beach. And so I was kind of that, like, covered-all associate guy, just doing everything from marketing and being overseeing children and small groups and, you know, just all kinds of stuff like that. But it was young. We met in, like, a little amphitheater room in a middle school, and it was exciting to be a part of it early on, for sure.
So Brett talked about living with open hands in the church planting world. In other words, letting people go from his church or from any church to go plant. Do you feel like he had open hands with you when you left?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think for any church to say, yeah, you can invite our entire church to go with you, that's a perfect example of living with open hands. And we immediately made that a part of our culture at Momentum. And really, even locally, like once we got to Cleveland, we knew we couldn't just start one church. We needed to start a church that would multiply and help a lot of other churches get started. And so, you know, we weren't 2 years old before we said we have to make sure our hands are open. And we started telling people, hey, we're one church, a part of a network, helping start another church that's about 15 minutes away from here. And every one of you has our blessing to go and be a part of that church if you're going to help. If you're not going to help, then you don't have our blessing. If you're going to be lazy and be a spectator. But if you're willing to help out and roll up your sleeves, then you have our blessing to go. And we definitely learned that kind of stuff from New Life, being a church-planting, generous church.
We're taking a break to tell you more about the series and about Exponential. We'll come back to the story in a minute. This is the Exponential Podcast, and we bring you inspiring and informational content. Our current series is called My Journey Toward Kingdom Multiplication, and in this episode, we're featuring Brett Andrews' story to multiplication. Exponential is hosting 2 regional conferences this year, one in Washington, D.C. on September 12th and 13th, and one in Chicago on November 15th and 16th. You'll hear from speakers like Dave Ferguson, Albert Tate, and Ryan Kwan. Even Mark Batterson will be at the D.C. conference. Get a 10% discount to these regional conferences by going to exponential.org/events. Use the promo code podcast. exponential.org/events, promo code podcast. We've also got a conference in Los Angeles in October. All this year's conferences are based on the theme of becoming a level 5 church. Here's a word from Dan Smith on the role Exponential has played in his life, along with a word from Stadia, one of Exponential's sponsors.
Exponential has been great because of the fact that when I helped run programming for Exponential and was the MC, the constant rhetoric that we talked about was the fact that it was a convention where it wasn't like the speakers are up on stage and then you never see them, you know, because they're backstage somewhere. It's more like, yeah, the people are up on stage, they teach, and then next thing you know, they're sitting at a picnic table outside. People are all gathered around them, asking them questions and picking their brains about their church planting journeys. So that's been great. I think just being challenged by and hearing stories where the convention values multiplication and the risk that goes with that. For us, honestly, even among church plants, we don't have a lot of church plants we network with that honestly have a bunch of skin in the game when it comes to multiplication. And so there's a lot of church plants, but ones that are actually sacrificing people and money and not just trying to be fast forward to the goal of having their own property and a building ASAP and all that kind of stuff. And so to be at Exponential, you run into different people with those different kinds of stories. And it's a little easier to find somebody like, hey, that guy sounds like he's in a similar context to us. And it's pretty cool hearing what's happening at their place too. So.
Hi, I'm Melissa with Stadia New Church Planting.
Okay, and what brought you guys to Exponential this year?
We come every year. We love to connect with our planters and partners. It's a great way to network and find people with the same vision of ensuring every child has a church.
Over the next year, which conferences are you going to go to with Exponential?
We're definitely going to be at all of them. We'll be at West. We'll do a big event there, as well as the regional events. We're really looking forward to connecting into Chicago and D.C. To see what those markets are all about.
And now back to the story. Brett Andrews and New Life Christian Church have helped to plant over 80 churches in the last 25 years or so. They now have a residency program in partnership with Passion for Planting, which we'll hear about from Dale Spalding, the director of the program. But first, here's Vince Antonucci, another planter who, like Dan Smith, was sent out from New Life. At the time Vince came on staff, New Life had 3 full-time staff members. They brought Vince on to plant a church initially, but as soon as he felt ready, he said, "I think it's time for me to go plant." Here's his experience in church planting, along with some advice for other church planters and for other sending churches.
Brett told me that there was a point in launching New Life and kind of in the early years where he said that you had come on board in order to plant a church. And you came to him and said, "I think it's time for me to go plant this church in Virginia Beach." My thought was, how did you know it was time to go to Virginia Beach?
That's a great question. I became a Christian from a completely non-Christian background, and the only thing I cared about and still care about is helping people find Jesus, and especially people who the other churches are not reaching or probably ever going to reach. And so I'm just very intensely passionate about that, perhaps to a fault. And so I went to seminary, found out that church planting was the most effective way to do that, at least in America, at least right now, and said, "Okay, I'll do that." And I was 26 years old, 25, 26 years old, and had only been a Christian for about 5 years. And so I just knew I wasn't ready to do it yet. And I knew Brett and came on staff with them to learn. It was a 2-year-old church, and I thought, and I had an offer from 11,000 person church and their 80 person 2-year-old church, and I thought, man, I need to learn what it's like to be in a newer church, to build a church from scratch-ish. And so went there, and honestly, I was just so raring to go to start the church that, like, for me, the sooner I could go, the better. So I don't know that I was ready, and I don't know if there was some great sign or God spoke to me and said, "Okay, now's the time." It was just like, I think as soon as I could justify leaving, not because it wasn't great there, it was an awesome experience there, but I was just so raring to go and to do it and to try to reach more people that as soon as I felt like, okay, I think I got it, I left.
What else would you like to share?
I would just say if you feel called and there's somebody who's telling you that you are the right person to start a church, as scary as that might be, you need to do it. And that the reward is going to be totally worth the risk. And if you're a church and you've got somebody like that, somebody who you're like, man, he wants to do it and he can do it, let him go. Like, it is hard to imagine, you know, kind of like Brett said, are we going to keep growing? How are we going to replace him? And probably if he's the kind of person who is called and can do it, he's probably kind of awesome and a hard worker and a self-starter. And so it's not the kind of person you want to lose, but man, God's math is bigger than our reason and logic. And, you know, today New Life, I don't even know, I think they have like 1500 people or something like that. And so what happened for me leaving was they tripled and have started a bunch of churches and done all kinds of things that I would never have even thought of or dreamed. And so God made them better by giving away something that Brett thought was so important. And that's just the way God works. And so I would say go to Exponential, learn about church planting, learn about, get challenged. And again, it's not for everybody, but if you feel called and there's people in your life or you go to an assessment and there's people who believe that you're the right person, do it and
If you've got that guy, send him.
That kind of sending spirit is a part of New Life's ethos. Like what Brett said before, both Vince and Dan were able to go out from New Life because the church didn't hold on to them too tightly. That sending spirit at New Life is also part of their residency program. They sent out both Dan and Vince a long time ago, but here's what New Life's doing right now.
I think the most important thing that we're doing right now, in fact, I would say if we're able to transport ourselves to 150 years from now, we would see the greatest impact that New Life is having on the kingdom is what we're doing through preparing church planters and supporting church plants. We have a ministry, Passion for Planting, and we have residents right now, church planting residents that are walking through a 9-month, for lack of a better word, program, preparation time, where they're studying, they are making plans, they are writing sermons, they get together every Wednesday to talk through the work of the week. They meet at New Life a couple of times a year for a 4-day on-site teaching. We're bringing in all kinds of people from all kinds of different places to teach. And so those residents will then go and plant, and we are trying to, we're envisioning them to be church planting churches. And so, some of those churches we will directly financially support, significantly financially support. Others will support other ways.
Here's more on New Life's residency program from the director, Dale Spalding. He works for Passion for Planting, which is the umbrella under which New Life operates their residency program. Just a heads up, Dale talks about cohorts, which is what they call particular groups of church planters who are training in residency.
My name's Dale Spalding. I'm the director of Passion for Planting, and I just oversee Passion for Planting's church planting ministry. So to give you a summary of the cohort, about the 10 months, the thing we cover and spend the most time on is the nuts and bolts of church planting, okay? But we also spend time covering preaching and teaching in a new church, as well as practical ministry in the new church, which covers pastoral care and items like that. So that's kind of a picture, I guess, of the 10 months. The online studying they'll do on their own, cohort day once a week, and then twice a year come for these on-site intensives, and then a nice graduation at the end in July.
I love that. And once they graduate, they just kind of go plant a church.
that's it. Yeah, I mean, they've had a chance to flush out all of their strategies and their plans, and there's tons of those plans we work on with them, and
yeah,
so they are peer reviewed by the team and they're ready to implement. So these guys, we feel, are really prepared now to plant, and they're then spending time in the community rather than sitting at home writing a marketing strategy, right? They've already got that done, and they just need to implement it now. And that's what we want them to do, hit the ground running and not sitting around the house, on their laptop all day, working on this stuff. They've already got it thought through, and they're ready to implement now.
And that's all pre-launch, right?
Yeah, yes, exactly. Once they finish the cohort, they will enter the pre-launch period for about, 6 to 12 months. But during pre-launch is when you're doing a lot of things like fundraising and marketing and community outreach, and that's what we work on, all those kind of strategies.
Dale, what role did Brett play in getting you involved in the residency program?
Sure. Okay, so Brett Andrews is our senior minister here at New Life Christian Church, and he's also a board member of our church planting board. And since he is a church planter himself, right? He planted New Life Christian Church about, 23, 24 years ago. And from the beginning, his vision from God was just to be a church planting church. So his years of experience doing that were tapped in helping architect this church planter residency program. And as, you know, a board member, he's, you know, he's got his finger on the pulse of this program. And he, plus he comes in and teaches at our cohort as well. Just this last week, we talked about sermon series planning, and Brett came in and led that session. So, yeah, he leads multiple sessions with our cohort during the 10-month residency.
How is this program new or different than what you've done before as a church in terms of sending out church planters?
What's different is one, that the details of what we're doing to help them get prepared. You know, we've had informal residencies in the past, like a lot of churches have, where guys just come aboard and, you know, they're on staff for a couple of years and they're learning and growing, and then they get sent off. And that's, you know, the typical residency you'll see. But I guess what's new and different is one, this, you know, detailed cohort with a actual, you know, learning objectives and a syllabus and all that. So there's structure to it, I guess. That's what's different. That's one thing that's different. And also this idea of the distance resident option. You know, before, residents were all physically here with us. And you know, there may be a guy that is interested in a residency, but not interested in moving to the Washington, D.C. area for a year. So that's why I developed this distance residency option, which means that a member of our cohort can be physically located anywhere in the world and act so that they can learn in their local context, because knowing the local context is just critical in church planting. So, yeah, we have a guy in Chicago, for example, that's in our cohort. And so he's online with us every week on cohort day, because we do that via a video conference. And so yeah, I think that's a difference as well, the distance residency option. You know, we didn't want to just restrict guys to physically be here with us. Yeah, they come twice a year for the on-site intensive, but during the rest of the time, they're learning in their local context, but still participating in the cohort. So those are two. I guess there's one other big difference too, and that's I kind of touched on it earlier about the marketing thing, but let me unpack that a little bit more. Is that when these guys go through this program, they're going to leave with a comprehensive set of strategies and plans that they've written throughout this 10-month cohort that they're ready to implement. And I call those the deliverables along the way. But let me just mention a few of those. I mentioned the marketing plan already, but, you know, we start right up front with vision, mission, and core values of the church plant. You know, these guys got to write this stuff down. Philosophy of ministry, the launch plan itself, fundraising plan, the discipleship plan, the community outreach plan, the budget itself. You know, we teach all this stuff, but then they write it down, because you really, really don't understand something until you get it down on paper. So, you know, they're writing this stuff down. They're working on opening day sermon and their first sermon series for the first 3 months. So all of this stuff they're getting in writing, and I guess that's another key thing that really sets us apart, that's different than what we've done in the past, is just really having this kind of structure to the program.
Dale Spaulding is another example. If we talk about how do the Peter, James, and Johns become part of a multiplication ministry, it's because God provides for them people like Dale Spaulding, who he and Nancy came to New Life about 8 years ago because they were looking for a church that was passionate about reaching lost people. And then a few years back, they sold their McMansion to move into a condo so she could retire early. He could retire early from Boeing. He was an engineer at Boeing. Mm-hmm. And so she could serve more in the church, and he could work in the church with church planting. And so Dale now oversees that ministry. I'm laughing because it's a part-time job that he gets paid for, but he actually is probably working, you know, 50 hours a week because he has a servant's heart. But I should really feel more guilty about that than I do. But he...
yeah, I know where the checks are written.
So he is working directly with Church Planters, but he's also organizing the residency program, and we're actually in discussions with colleges about it becoming a master's degree, part of a master's degree program in church planting.
What's been your biggest surprise along your journey towards multiplication? In other words,
it's a great question.
You're not at number one. You're not losing members at your church. You're not really plateaued, from what I know. You're growing. You're somewhere along the journey between subtraction and multiplication. In that journey from the start to where you're at now, what's been your biggest surprise?
That's a great question. But March Ferguson one time told me, and this was when I was probably 23 years old and wasn't even thinking about having children, once told me, parents have less control of who their kids become than they think. Some parents take too much credit for when their kids turn out well, and they take too much blame for when their kids don't go well.
And
I think that's one of the things probably with the church. God builds the church, and we have to be faithful in what he's called us to do and try to discern how he's leading us. But I guess I've been surprised at how little control I have over that. You know, I never would have expected that we would have planted as many churches as we've have, or that we would have been as encouraging to church planters and church planting as we have been, on the one hand. On the other hand, I thought that we'd be more impressive than we are, candidly, in my ego. I would have thought that we would have been, you know, and if you would ask me at 22, where I'd be at 51, we probably need to take less credit for good things than we are, and less blame for bad things than we do. I don't know, maybe we should need to take more responsibility for the bad things, but the you know, the when God builds the church, he does it his way, and that is usually surprising. At least for me, it's been surprising. It's not been the thing where I've been able to say, this is the mountain that we're going to climb, and this is what it's going to look like in 20 years from now, and therefore this is what it's become.
My last question is, what three pieces of advice would you give to those who want to multiply and not just add?
I'll have to think about that for a while. The first piece of advice I would give, though, it's the great line from Jesus that Rick Warren articulated, it's not about you. At least for me, as soon as I think of level five, I think it's about me. It's about my giftedness. It's about my vision. It's about my capacity. It's about my limitations. It's about, you know. So the first thing is, God, it's your church.
Yeah.
I am your person. I have no entitlement to be anything other than your child and your obedient servant doing my duty. And so, Lord, show me what you want done and how you want it done. My first piece of advice would just be to not make it about you, make it about seeking God and being obedient to his calling and to his mission. Second thing I guess I would say is live with open hands. You don't get to level anything, blessing of God, if your hands are closed and you are living in fear. It's the parable of the talents, right? Mm-hmm. Three guys are given talents. The guy that's given one talent doesn't gamble it, doesn't bet it on Nashville winning the Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. What's he do? He just is afraid. He buries it. And when the master comes back, I don't think that he's expecting to get a tongue lashing. I think he's expecting the master to say, well, good for you. You didn't lose it. Mm-hmm. And what's he do? He calls him, you wicked, lazy servant. But why did he do it? I was afraid. I knew you to be a hard man. He said he thought he knew the master, which he didn't. I was afraid, and so I buried it. That's why we hold on to things, right? We think we know God. He wants us to place. He doesn't want us to lose. And we don't trust him as a result of really not knowing him well. We hold on to the stuff as though it's ours to hold on to. And we bury the talent. And so I would say, first of all, live with open hands. Second, I would say, open your hands. Release what God has given you. What's that old C.S. Lewis line about nothing that you hold on to? I can't think of the exact quote, but that. So I would say, live with open hands. And the third thing that I would say is have a predilection for action. You know, it's one thing to think about a predisposition for a love for action. It's one thing to, it's the opposite of burying your talent. It's one thing to think about these things that God wants you to do or these ideas that you may have, but what's it mean for you to act in obedience today? Mm-hmm. You know, what's it mean? It's easy for me to come to conferences and get ideas or read books and get ideas or see what other people are doing and get ideas. Yeah. It takes courage for me, you know, as opposed to you wicked, lazy servant, it's well done, good and faithful servants. Mm-hmm. It takes courage for me to say, I am going to act in boldness, and if I fail, I'll learn from it and let God use that to move me forward. So I would say act, try stuff. Again, the parable of the talents, it's a wonderful principle of what does the master tell them to do? Isn't that kind of frustrating? The master doesn't tell them anything. He just gives it to them.
That is interesting.
And so as he expects them to be entrepreneurs. He expects them to be creative. He expects them to take action because they've thought about it a little bit or they've certainly thought about who he is. So the opposite of burying your talent is holding it loosely and being entrepreneurial and taking some action because you're not lazy. Because you're just going to try stuff in obedience to God and say, God, show me the way. Mm-hmm. You know, so much of life, if you want to know how vision has worked for me, I think it was, I forget who came up with the metaphor. But when I teach vision to church planters, I say it's like driving on a dark night with your headlights. You can't see 5 miles ahead. You can't see 2 miles ahead. You can only see as far as the headlights will show you, but if you follow them long enough, they'll get you home. Mm-hmm. And so much of vision is what has God clearly told you to do as your next step? Take the action, take the risk. If it doesn't work out so well, God has not abandoned you. Learn from it, move forward some more, you know, fail fast, fail forward. And see how he then leads you to where he wants you to be.
You are an entrepreneur. That's what I've heard from all those entrepreneurs.
Oh, I'm an entrepreneur who likes safety.
Brett, thank you so much for sharing your heart.
You've been listening to the Exponential Podcast. To register for any of the Exponential conferences or to learn more about church planting, visit exponential.org. I don't want my
books have to say I made you laugh. Or that I wrote some funny songs and signed some autographs. If that's all you know about me, then you don't know half. I'm trying to lead a freaking army down that narrow path. I don't want my epitaph to say I made you laugh. Or that I wrote some funny songs and signed some autographs. If that's all you know about me, then you don't know half. I'm trying to lead a freaking army down that narrow path. Now I want you to hear this, so please put on your headphones. How will you remember me when I'm only dead bones underneath a headstone? And my life was like a mist. How many names did I successfully write on stage?